CliffCentral.com.
Dirty words to this song. I can't believe it. I mean, it's a beautiful song. Kind of sicko. Makes it filthy.
What kind of sicko? God laws.
Yeah, you sick bastard.
Been in my head. I've been making it dirty since I was like a little.
Listen to your farts.
That's how I got into rapping. I was like, just used to change the words to songs in my head as they'd come on the radio to make my friends laugh. So whatever it was, even if I'd never really heard it before,
yeah,
I'd just go over the song playing over the radio and make it vulgar. And then I realized I didn't need the backing song to do it.
Clive sent me a limerick for you, Gord.
Yes.
Knowing that you're a fan of limericks and that you brought up something really funny in last week's show. So this is Clive at work being creative. Clive says, Tom and Tim a-sharing went, found three Sheilas in a tent. They was three and we was two, so Tom bucked one and Tim bucked two.
Wow.
Oh, that's special work from Clive. Thank you,
yeah,
Clive.
That's an old one, though, Clive. You can't claim the points for that.
Is there a part of you that actually wants to see how cold it can get?
No.
Oh, come on. No, like as a, I was really hoping for snow.
If it gets any colder, I'm inverting. My gear is like a Denny mushroom on a billiard ball. It's a little bit like if you imagine a snail the size of a billiard ball just sticking its head out to see what the weather's like this morning. That's what I'm dealing with.
Wouldn't it be cool though if it snowed?
No.
Oh, I'd love that. Come on, just once. Someone sent me a picture of what looks like.
It does snow from time to time.
Yeah,
I mean,
someone sent a picture of what looks like Emperor's Palace in Boxburg.
Mm-hmm. My thing for snow, like if you want to qualify, snow is just sort of a slightly more exotic variant on rain. Unless enough of it falls that it makes snow on the ground, then it's snowing. Like otherwise it's just flaky rain that hits your windscreen and becomes water. So like, you know, a few flakes of snow falling in South Africa, I've seen many, many times in my day. I've only seen it make like patches of snow on the ground maybe twice in my life. Apparently when I was a little baby, it snowed and blanketed everything in snow and my big brother held me and kept me warm and it was a beautiful moment. But like most beautiful moments in my life, I either wasn't there or didn't appreciate it or don't remember.
Okay, I think we're going down the Gord trauma track.
Was he saving you because the cold was going to kill you? Is this what 1600?
Yeah, like apparently it was like unprecedentedly cold, and my mom needed to go out and do something, and she gave me to my big brother and said, "Take him,
save him." And if your brother hadn't held you,
and my mom came back, and my brother had me swaddled and was holding me against his breast, and this was the alleged warm, this was the alleged family warm moment. Maybe my mom made it.
Gord, here is a piece of feedback from Lisa, who's very attractive. Okay, so you'll probably listen because she's attractive. Listen, okay, you're listening.
Yeah,
Gord, I love you, but can you please let other people talk without interrupting them?
I can. But I don't think I will. But I love you too.
Also, as an open water swimmer, are we allowed to swim in the ocean or will I get arrested? No one seems to know. Swimming in the cold water at Clifton ensures social distancing at all times. It makes no sense that I can run in crowds on Sea Point Promenade, but God forbid I go swim in the empty ocean. Also, our government announced that triathlon is now allowed again, but not swimming. Do they know that swimming is part of triathlon?
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, there are all of these
it's one of those maybes
with all of these rules. So here's this advanced level 3 that we were discussing just before 7 o'clock, some information around that. Actually, there's a decision on the move that's expected to be made today, Wednesday the 17th of June. So a number of businesses would be able to reopen under this advanced level 3 lockdown. This is all according to Small Business Development Minister Kumbuzo Njaveni. She has said that the decision to open, for example, sit-down restaurants again after nearly 3 months of the lockdown is necessary. So the impact on the economy was severe, and we went to cabinet after the survey was done and said we don't have enough relief measures to support small business. And then they continue to say we are better off supporting businesses as they come back to the economy, because now you're dealing with viability of businesses. So some of the businesses that could possibly be opened under advanced level three are sit down restaurants, informal restaurants serving the likes of taxi ranks and office parks.
Mm-hmm.
They say, in their words here, Gassi style South African street food vendors, okay, hairdressers, tattoo studios, nail parlors, body massage services, and makeup technicians.
Yeah, but then let's just drop the whole facade, because actually, now it doesn't matter anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could just put a moratorium on concerts and cinemas. There are certain things where you're cramming a lot of people together in
no one's in a hurry to go to those things. Concerts are not going to happen for a while, because no concert wants to run at a loss. It's expensive to do, and if they think that half the people won't pitch, they're not going to put it on. And I don't see people rushing back to cinemas either.
So let people decide
for themselves. It's so stupid that we're still putting on this farce. It's just dumb. Take off the mask and let's carry on as normal people and stop pretend.
I don't see why cinemas can't open if they just don't serve at full capacity.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's assume the cinema is even half full, which even under normal circumstances, it seldom is if it's not a like weekend evening. But assume the cinema is half full. It's air conditioned. They're recycling the air. People are within coughing, breathing, and speaking range of each other. Look, a cinema is, if you're going to fill a cinema with people, and a couple of them have got the Roro, it's a really good way. Cinemas, airplanes, anything that's essentially a sealed box full of people.
You've got government telling cinemas, for example, you can run, but you're not allowed to make money. What do they think the point of opening a cinema is? Showing people movies. Dummies. You gotta make money. No, you got to make money. Anyway. Here are some interesting points being raised by various people. Gord, you have ruined Roxette for me.
Sorry, mate.
That's from Steve.
I apologize sincerely, because it was a beautiful thing until you started opening up your heart.
A lot of young people, including myself in South Africa, are doing live things on Instagram and speaking about gender-based violence at the moment. That's interesting, Jonathan. Is this also like a black square, or are we meant to use a different color, or, you know, because I don't want to be left out of some, in inverted commas, social movement. In Joburg, you can play golf, but you can't go for a walk in the park. City parks remain closed. Go figure. Yeah, you see, it's that kind of dumb that just makes people want to stop following all the rules. Alex.
I didn't know parks were still closed.
I didn't know that either. When clothing stores opened on Monday in the UK, the line to go to get in was almost 500 meters long at the shopping center near me. The next day I drove past and saw five people queuing at 6 a.m. This stuff is insane. That's from Jared. Mm. Yeah, it's all crazy, right? I reckon the new rules are because of the two-week deadline from the Constitutional Court. Yeah, that's coming up soon. Planes flying at 100% capacity with a magic filter. Let's get the same air filter that the airplanes have for the cinemas. I'll guarantee you there isn't some magic filter, and it's all just pretend.
And airplanes have been like a known way to pass lurgies around forever. Yeah, so regardless of COVID, like whatever flu is going around, whatever the catchy thing is, people dig to share biology on airplanes. I'm all nervous now because the hot girl wants me not to talk. So I'm like second guessing myself. It's choral verse all over again.
She didn't say don't talk. She just said don't interrupt everyone else.
Okay, I'll only interrupt one or two of you.
Can I tell you about this ridiculous story that I discovered?
Go on.
Yes.
I so wish that his name is publicized, because I just want to search this guy and find out who decides to do something like this. But for now, we know that a 41-year-old man from Durban was clearly sitting at home, didn't have anything better to do.
Well, he lives in Durban, after all.
Than to get drunk and steal cop gear and then walk into town and start conducting his own stop and search operation.
Look, I mean, impersonating police officers so you could, like, horrible crime people is a known thing and it's terrible, but to just put it on for shits and giggles and go fuck with people is
stupid. It's both I've always said that if you did
that at Opikopi or similar festival, you could confiscate enough drugs for you and all your friends for the whole jaw. I'm 100% sure of that.
He will now face charges of possession of stolen property and impersonating a police official, and he's scheduled to appear at the Durban Magistrates Court. But police said in a statement over the weekend that they were alerted to a highly intoxicated man in police uniform conducting stop and searches on Victoria Street in the Durban CBD. They approached him, they questioned him, and they discovered that he was not a police officer. But he was found wearing a police bulletproof jacket and a police cap, and he was searched, and they also discovered a fake appointment card. Imagine the detail.
So he planned this when he was sober.
And even in the detail and, like, planning all of this, he didn't think, maybe I shouldn't do this. But no, he created his own appointment card. He created his own
wallet. What is an appointment card? Like your badge?
Yeah, I think it would detail who you are within the ranks of the SAPS and have details around that. He went as far as creating a wallet with the SAPS logo on it.
Wow.
So wow. He was immediately detained at the Durban Central Police Station. But I want to know who this guy is.
All because he's bored on lockdown.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is premeditated. You don't get hammered and go, I'm going to carefully craft an entire police facade.
But he should go all in now. He should steal a judge's robe and then oversee his own case. Just like go all
also,
in.
Also get those like black and white striped jail things and then sentence and imprison himself in that outfit as well. So he could play all the characters in his own trial.
I love the way you guys are living out this fantasy. He's off to jail. Sorry. It's done. Impersonating a police officer is quite a serious thing, apparently. You know, it is very serious. People do not like the idea of people impersonating police. Of course, you could be a badly trained cop and it would be fine. But if you impersonate the police, even if you do it really well, you're a great actor, it's not good. They take it very seriously. Oh, my God.
What a dodo. I love this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I got fined for impersonating the police at a karaoke show once. I knew as that was coming out, it was going to be a fucking terrible joke. And I was just committed and I went with it.
God. Oh, shocking. Okay. It needed a moment.
Yeah, that was terrible. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that was really bad. All right. So there's lots of other stuff coming through on the message board this morning. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. I love Gord's rambling, so carry on, please. Carry on, please. Don't stop now. It's who you are. Listen to your heart. That's what Nikki says this morning, Gord. That's Nikki. She says, just carry on. Listen to your
Nikki,
heart.
Nikki, you're a babe. I love you. Thank you for letting me be me.
It's great.
Letting me do me. Live my own truth. Live my fears.
Right.
Snap.
Listen,
snaps.
Is it acceptable to walk around in a blanket?
Depends where you are. At home, absolutely.
You can just wrap a blanket around you.
In Lesotho, at any time you want.
Yes.
It depends where. It's context. I mean, when is it not okay to wrap yourself in a blanket? I mean, I guess you wouldn't want one around your shoulders while you walk down the aisle, but like, fuck it. If a man has a blanket and man needs a blanket, let man use his blanket.
Because if you think about it, our ancestors always used to walk around in these long fur coats and things, right?
And that was just because they would just
cut the feet off of an animal, eat the wet bits inside, and then wear the rest.
eat the wet bits and wear everything else. That's true.
Well, you're going to experience this when the COVID apocalypse fully kicks in, reaches the tipping point, and you've got to hunt Friesland. Or, as I keep telling you, breed him.
Now, let me explain to people who don't know what you're talking about. Friesland is this black and white rabbit that lived in my garden, and I say lived. Gord, I think a bird of prey has taken Friesland already.
Oh no.
My mom's got chickens, and she reckons, and she's those small, cute little chickens. Her boyfriend smokes boom, and he's got like weed plots, and he will never, ever listen to me. My mom's boyfriend, bless him, he's a sweet oak, but he's like such an archetypal stoner hippie that if he was auditioning for the part of archetypal stoner hippie in a Judd Apatow comedy, they'd say to him at the audition, like, mate, you know, dial it back. It's not realistic. He's like, you know, the economy is like hands. So he just won't.
Oh, shut up.
He won't remove the male weed plants from his weed patch. They live on like a, they've got a B&B that's like a little farm instead in Swellendam.
Yeah.
But so the weed always has seeds in it. I go there and I'm always like, dude, keep telling you, you're fucking up your own weed. And all you have to do is just pull out the male plants before they pollinate. But anyway, the little chickens go underneath the weed bushes and they jump up and they catch the seeds with their beak. And so it's hysterical, these little hopping chickens. But she reckons one of them got like partially fucked by a hawk the other day. It like swooped in, grabbed it, started trying to like get a grip on it and fly it away, and was like doing the trying to get off the ground with the chicken. Poor chicken freaking out. The hawk gave up, and now this chicken has been like unwilling to come out of cover for a week because it now knows about sky death.
Now, Gord, that's real trauma.
Sky death is a real thing. So, I know
the chicken is never going to be right again.
Anna, is that her name?
Yeah,
Anna, that's her name. Chicken. Oh my God, boy. Traumatized Anne.
But imagine you've never heard of hawks. You've just lived your whole life. You like get fed every day. It's warm. You've got a weed bush that you can jump up and catch the seeds out of. And suddenly this fucking thing that relative to the size of a human is the size of a fucking bus. And it swoops down out of the sky, grabs you with its sharp, spiky feet, lifts you a few meters into the air, and then drops you. And you just have to carry on with your life knowing the sky can fucking eat you anytime it wants.
Hey, who knew? Everyone's all about 5G threatening birds.
Yeah.
They're killing each other. They are killing each other.
Bird on bird violence.
You know, in some way, bird on bird violence.
Avian crime.
Listen, this is so instructive because it helps us to figure out, like, there are a lot of millennials and Gen Zs who really just have never really dealt with hardship in their lives, right? And because of COVID now, they're going to have a struggle. They're going to struggle to find jobs. They're going to struggle to find, you know, live their best life in inverted commas. And it's going to be like Anna the chicken for them. They're going to suddenly realize there is horrible stuff out there that doesn't care about you living your best life. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, it is tough. It is
dangerous.
I can just...
So yeah. Anna the chicken is traumatized, but I think Friesland the rabbit that used to live in my garden, I haven't seen him for 3-4 weeks. And
so one of your neighbors has basically got the jump on you and done what I said you should have done.
I don't think he was taken out by a human because he was living very happily for a number of weeks before that among the humans.
That's when humans love to strike.
No, Gord, I think it was a bird of prey. I think some sky death came unto the coy world, the happy world of young Friesland, and just took him out.
Well, hopefully they're one of those bitey, punctury things so that they can drain his wet bits and you can still find the pelt, because that's what you're really in it for, is the pelt.
Stop, Gord.
The pelt.
You get companionship during the life phase, you get meats during the death phase, and then forever you've got pelt. Pelt is, you know, they say meat is temporary, but pelt is forever. I think that's in the Bible. That's what I tell all the girls.
What Bible are you reading?
All right, so let's just recap what we have learned, because we've learned a tremendous amount this morning. All right, tremendous amount.
Great.
You're allowed to wear a blanket around your house
anytime you want.
Anytime you want.
Yes.
You must turn. You must turn whatever livestock you have into A, food, meats, and B, pelts. But the meats you need to take advantage of at a certain age when they are ripest. And then with the pelt, you must also simultaneously use it in the winter to keep yourself warm. This is all very handy information to people.
And then sky death is a real thing.
Yes. And yes, protect Anna the chicken. Protect poor traumatized Anna the chicken from
and
sky
death. Remove your male weed plants, for fuck's sake. It's so easy, and then you don't get so many seeds.
Right.
We will not have another death like Harambe. No.
Yeah.
I still pine for Harambee. Everybody was... See, this is... Harambee is a typical example of the fuckery of internet activism, right?
Yes.
Everyone was, oh, Harambee. And then they forgot about Harambee. Not
I haven't,
me.
I haven't forgotten.
I have a shrine to Harambee. And then, like, a couple of years later, no one gives a shit about Harambee. Like, that's what we should reply to people who are all upset on, like, political matters. We'd be like, oh, well, I don't see you posting about fucking Harambee.
Wasn't it, like, 2 years?
Perfectly good to be, perfectly fine to be upset about the latest massacre, but, yeah.
I have a mural. I have a picture of Harambee that I have on my wall. Oh.
Yeah. I still, it gives me solace to know that Harambee is now looking after all of us from heaven.
Harambee is a part of our lives. We must never forget.
Mm-hmm. Harambee hashtag is in heaven with Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. My mom told me this dog about Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear.
Who the hell is Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear?
It was him when my mom was at Catholic school with the nuns that used to fucking beat her with rulers and shit. Two things that have always been the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. The first one was that for an entire year, there was a misprint in the textbook. This is the best. There was a misprint in the textbook that the word roots, and it's about adventitious roots, tap roots, fucking plant roots, right? The word roots was misprint.
Wait, hang on, what?
What?
Just calm down. Calm down and give textbook. Us the story. Hang on.
Basically, the only thing I could hear right now, go to dogs.
So, the only word in the textbook that was misprinted was the word roots. Which is a big part of the biology syllabus. And it was misprinted OROTS.
OROTS.
The teacher was so dedicated to the curriculum that she taught it like that the whole year.
And she called it OROTS.
You had to write about OROTS in your book because it was. And the nun was just like, that's what's in the textbook. So who did you?
Hang on, I'm just going to paraphrase.
I did not catch a thing.
All right, let me explain, because I think I got the gist of it. So Gord is laughing so much. So apparently when his mom was at school, the nuns who used to beat her, they had a textbook. And in the textbook, there was one word, the biology textbook, there was one word that was so badly written. It was typed out wrong, and it was a misprint. And in every part of the textbook, it was misprinted as OROTS.
Yes.
Not the roots.
Nun taught the
so instead
of OROTS.
A tree has roots, it said a tree has OROTS. And because this nun was so dedicated to the curriculum, she insisted that everyone in the class write OROTS.
And you would get like hit with a ruler if you argued about it. And the other thing was this hymn that they sang in school. And it took my mom most of her childhood to realize she'd been misinterpreting it for years. And it's Gladly the Cross I'd Bear in Heaven. So in other words, I get to heaven, I'll carry the cross around, right? Gladly the cross I'll bear it. But she thought it meant Gladly the Cross I'd Bear in Heaven. And she always believed there was a fucking bear called Gladly in Heaven. He was
cross-eyed.
And he was nice and loving. And we sang songs about him every week in assembly. Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear in Heaven. I think it's the funniest fucking thing in the world. My mom believed him gladly. And she was so upset when she found out she misinterpreted it. God, I'm a bear. You had to carry a fucking cross when you got to heaven and do it gladly. Oh, God.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Hey, good.
Hi, Ben.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good.
Jesus, that is
hilarious. Yeah, much happier to be talking to you guys.
Yeah, it's so... Ben, are you in bed?
Yeah, I decided that today I've got like a lot of work to do. So I'm going to do... bed work. Meowsis is totally okay with this. She's here.
Yeah, good.
I admire it, Ruby. I never thought of it. Now I just wish that I'd been doing this in bed for the last 3 months.
Well, I haven't done this at all, right? So this is very much like literally it's just the two of us. I haven't done this at all. But today, fuck it. Like it's still minus like whatever it is outside.
Minus ridiculous.
It's freezing.
You've got a woolen beanie with that hand knitted feel about it.
Yeah, I'm not taking
your headphones over the beanie.
I'm not taking any chances, Gord.
Jesus, but those headphones must be close to structural ruin with going over your head and the beanie.
Wow. Well, Gareth, we've already crossed that bridge. There's already been some worrying cracks in the studio, and now literally they are just hanging on by a prayer.
So, Kapinski, while everyone's been cold, apparently you've been getting hot. Tell us about that.
That's such a good segue, Gord. I couldn't have done that better myself. Go ahead, Ben. Thanks.
Well, like when I started this whole lockdown thing, when the effects of the whole scandemic started to actually take its toll, I just wanted to control every controllable that I could, which is very little considering how shit our lives have become. And all I wanted to do was every single day to give myself like a little bit of purpose and just work out and do something interesting. And it's funny when you, I don't know what lockdown is today, day 7,087 or whatever, but if you do one day after the other, something miraculous happens. You actually start achieving things. I mean, amazing.
I saw a video you posted, I think, on Instagram of you doing pull-ups. And I mean, listen, it's helpful. You moved into this new place where you've got this great balcony up on the roof and everything, and it's like the perfect place to do exercise. But, you know, people use excuses. You could do this stuff anywhere. And essentially, it's calisthenics, right?
Yeah, essentially. Like, I woke up with a hangover on January 1st, like anyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, there was a photo that I saw of myself not so long ago. Let's just say it was 2 years ago. Structurally, I looked very much like Sia. I looked so skinny and uninteresting.
You mean you were beautiful with golden skin and charming and your wonderful personality shone through your perfect
art. Just let him carry on. Let's hear where he's going with this.
No, I mean structurally, like Sia's built like Roger from American Dad. We know that. There's very little going on in the upper body. He's got a bit of a gut. And, you know, Sia's got wonderful attributes, but this isn't really, like, that's not his go-to thing, right?
And Sia and I'm basically dissing Sia's physique and trying to cover it up and backtrack.
Yeah, but okay, so this is the starting point.
He said, yeah.
Well, of course I am. Gordon, if you notice, I'm not the nicest guy in the world.
I like you.
Well, thanks, Gord. Thanks. And I just saw, like, this year I wanted to kind of sort some things out in my life. And here we go. But Gareth, it's been quite easy, actually. This is the funny thing about it. Because we've had these, like, Spartan lives in lockdown. 5 and 4 and 3.
You misunderstood what they meant by Spartan, bro.
Well, Gord, I mean, like, I'm talking from a distraction point of view. Like, we are in our abodes, basically.
Yeah.
And we can't move around. So that's what I mean by Spartan is that, like, we've had things stripped away from us. So if you don't have time to exercise now or find ways
you'll
of doing
it, you'll
never
make time, right?
You never really will. Yeah. So then, and then about 3 weeks ago, I started that intermittent fasting thing, which I always thought was like obviously for fatties or people who wanted to expressly lose weight. But, you know, like the more you read about stuff, the more interesting things become, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And what's your cycle vibe? How are you fasting? Some people do like a day on, a day off. Other people eat in like a 6 or an 8 hour window every day. There's a listener called JP. He's a good guy. He keeps, with his helpful nature, wanting to put me on a program like this. A couple of people have spoken to me about it. So how do you actually structure that?
So, Gord, okay, firstly, my biggest problem in this whole lockdown thing is actual focus and productivity. I'm so distracted by a variety of things, and eating is one of them.
Oh, yeah,
so,
all amen.
And eating is one of them. Like, I can't really put on weight. I know that's a unique problem, but it's still a problem. So I eat all the time, like all the time. So I was putting so much energy and time into creating food in this whole process that my productivity wasn't so great. So now I do that 16 hours of not eating and 8 hours of eating. So at 12 o'clock every single day, I eat the first time, and then at 8 o'clock at night, I stop eating. So that means like my mornings are super productive because I wake up, I boil a kettle, and I drink the contents of that kettle until it's cold, obviously.
You drink, you drink boiled water.
Yeah. Straight up, that's me in the morning.
You don't put coffee or tea in it.
I do that. Some days I need some coffee, but I've mostly done the hot water, which is really good, by the way. Yeah. Once you get into it,
also it kills the coronavirus.
No, but I mean, do you drink hot water because it's a thing you like and it's part of your vibe, or do you do it for a specific reason? Because I don't know, like plain hot water has always tasted funny to me, but I don't know anything about the nutritional or medical benefits of it. Is it just your coffee substitute, or does it serve a purpose?
Gord, in peak summer, I was just doing ice water. It's about hydration.
Just drink water, other words.
Ben sent me this really interesting YouTube video from this guy that he watches where he tells you about like the most important things that will stop you from aging prematurely and kind of keep you on a good tip. Who's this dude again?
I don't know, Gareth. I watch lots of things on YouTube. Yeah. I don't become too particular with anybody.
But he says quality sleep, intermittent fasting, melatonin, which apparently helps you to sleep and is useful in kind of keeping you young for longer.
Good stuff.
High intensity intermittent training, and then GABA, which is one of the neurochemicals.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. Of course, I'm aging quite rapidly. Well, I am about the face anyway. Well, you know, these damn crow's feet and receding hairlines. Nah, that's not sexy. See, I'm getting myself back here.
Speaking
it's
of
your
which,
inner light and your kindness.
Stop it.
It's your Care Bear stare.
It's his gladly the cross-eyed bear.
Yeah. Gladly the cross-eyed bear.
You know, Gord, you've introduced us to a lot of new bears. There's Tunnel Bear, Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. And
yeah, there's the Gay Bear Bar.
There's the Gay Bear Bar. It's called Bear.
Yes, that's right.
There's the trusted and beloved South African furniture store that really cares about you.
Guys, just quickly, Ben needs to update us on his Tinder successes or
Is going to be great. I haven't had an update on this in ages.
Yeah, guys, there is no update. It's Tinder. It's horrific. I mean,
it's a cesspit.
Have you found nothing?
No, there is nothing.
Another mate of mine has also been trying his heart out, and he's just had no luck whatsoever.
Are you trying to say that you've had zero results out of Tinder at all?
I have not gone on a single Tinder date. Look, another thing is that I'm not really...
Hang on, he was meant to go on one the other day, and then the chick got cold feet.
Yeah.
What's the other day?
Well,
like,
how did she keep the rest of herself warm? If she could let us know.
It was last week, but I find like my biggest problem on this whole thing is application. So you do all the swiping of people that's... you don't really essentially want to meet, you're not interested in. And then if you do get a match, of which is like such a seldom kind of thing, I never know what to say because my heart's not really in it. So what do you say? Hi, nice to meet you. It's not like you can go out and meet anybody.
You do the fire emoji three times and then you misspell like something really, really inappropriate. Like, oh, I'd like to get all up in that A-double-Z. And then you clap a few more emojis and a few, you just take a handful of apostrophes and sprinkle them on the sentence, let them land where they may, and you post. And then you
see where that goes.
Okay, see, now that's different. Now, all of a sudden, I approach this with new vigor.
We're so hot! Exclamation, exclamation, one we're, exclamation.
We're,
and,
so yeah, hot.
We're so hot.
Yeah, but
fire.
Yeah, but I think it also goes back to like where you are in your life cycle of singledom. Like, if you're in your 20s, you can pull it off because you're in your 20s, right? Like, you're in your late 30s.
I just tell them, hey, fat oaks are warm, very appreciative of the attention, and we love to eat. So just.
So, Ben, where were you going to go for your first date? Were you going to invite her over? Was she going to invite you over?
Well, see, I mean, look, the only way I'm going to get a date, I think, during this time is purely your geography, right? So there's a coffee place quite close to where I live, all of about a kilometer and a bit. So, yeah, very, very innocent plan of if you go somewhere public like that, it doesn't work out, you can always just walk home.
So, and also just no hidden agenda in the, we got you on to tell everyone that you're A, in the dating pool, B, looking hotter than you've ever looked in your life. Just throwing that out there, listener.
We're actually great wingmen right
now. Yeah, we're wingmanning Ben. He's like, I'm dating. Yeah. It's not going well. There aren't a lot of options.
The problem is also Ben is unjustifiably so. He's picky. He knows that there are probably a list of 50 things that would instantly put him off. That's how I am. I know that, oh God, it's so hard because these are self-imposed rules and some of them are unnecessary, but they make me happy. Like I know if a girl has like big hands, I'm not going to be happy about her. I know if she's got a squeaky voice, it's going to drive me fucking crazy on that first date. I can't. So I just immediately exclude those people because there's so much to overcome.
Like that episode of Entourage, which despite the gender politics not having aged well, was a very funny show. Johnny Drama, the older brother, he had a thing about, he had a problem with women who were top tall. Like when your legs are not proportionately long enough for your upper body. But he would like have this problem with women who were just total belters. And everyone would be like, dude, what are you talking about? Or like something about like asymmetrical calves, and then not want to be with like this perfect 10 belter that's into it.
Right.
Very
what, funny. What is it about big hands, Gareth?
Well, big manly hands could be a tranny.
No, it's not so much that. Like, big hands often have big veins.
What's wrong with a tranny? Best of both worlds.
Not for me, huh?
Yeah, but look, I think what it fundamentally comes down to with Tinder or whatever it is, this whole process of just swiping it and objectifying people on this level, that's actually that's something I don't find interesting.
But dude, because, like,
I know it sounds like a strange thing to say because you go on there to physically pick people based on very small and superficial metrics. But like, this is just not what I enjoy. Like, it's just, I go through a 10-minute swiping session, and I feel like I'm literally letting humanity down. Like, this is just a horrible experience.
It's a catalyst to interacting, and then you've got to get laid the old-fashioned way with, you know, personality and bullshit. You know, it's not a slot machine. You don't open Tinder, swipe it, and it goes ding, 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 ding. You hit a jackpot, and a vagina emerges from the phone.
Oh. Like,
you still have to talk to chicks. It's like, it's not a video game.
Hey, yeah. By the way, didn't you go straight back onto the golf course as soon as they allowed people on?
How terrible is this weather? We finally get to play golf and there's a fucking blizzard. Yeah, Gareth, it wasn't actually that much fun because it is so cold. And like, when we miss the greatest season of golf, it's autumn. Because in autumn, everything is beautiful and the weather is perfect and the trees are just so. And yeah, we lost that.
No, your mic is disconnected, Ben.
We've disconnected, Ben. Yeah. You must plug back in.
Disconnected Ben.
Where the fuck have you been? We can no longer hear you, and we don't know why. So plug back in your mic before we tell you goodbye.
Oh, beautiful.
That song really lends itself to many great things, huh?
Everything.
Have you got it sorted out, Ben? No, your microphone's just disconnected, you useless bastard.
We don't have Ben.
Guys, I'm trying.
Okay, back. Now you're back. All right, calm
there
down.
There you are.
You're there.
No, it's fine, because now it's back on the actual thing, which makes it sound like I'm in a toilet. No, everything's connected.
Toilet.
I'm trying again. There we go.
Hey. Look, Ben, I totally would. If I was an eligible woman out there who's not top tall, doesn't have asymmetrical knees, hands are not unusually large, and I saw DJ Ben K sans shirt plus ripped abdominals on that Tinder, I'd swipe the way you're supposed to swipe, bro.
Thanks,
Ben's
Gordon.
Available on most social media platforms, and his DMs are fully slidable. Apply now at a Ben Kopinski outlet near you.
Is that a consolation to hear, Ben? Because I would say your heart is in the right place, Gord, but no.
Yeah,
you don't have to slide into Ben's DMs. You can just...
I really wasn't looking to advertise myself this morning, but it's just so nice that you do think of me in a certain way.
Let me ask you about something that requires more thought, because you just indicated the other... You indicated the other day that it is 10 years ago that we had the World Cup over this very cold time of year. I remember going to some of those matches. It was one of the best times of my life.
Coldest I've been in my fucking life ever. It was Ellis Park for Brazil, North Korea.
Loved that World Cup. I loved it. And
yeah,
I did too. It was just spectacular. But it's very hard for me to remember those good times because it just feels like it was a different country. Like, we didn't have all the shit that we're dealing with at the moment. There wasn't this lockdown. You know, it's hard for me to think about it and to get that same good feeling.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, even the dollar to the rand was something different. It was under 7. Can you believe that? Like, 10 years ago, under 7. But yeah, Gareth, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, at the moment, it's just thinking about what is life going to be like afterwards where we can actually enjoy ourselves or be happy again. And it's not looking good. Like, you know, if you look at all the just the restaurants that are closing down, events that won't happen, sport events that you can't go to, like, we can't do much anymore. And like, that's what makes people excited about stuff. Like, on a Friday, you talk to your friends about, what are you doing this weekend? No one is ever excited to say, I'm at home again, and I'm at home doing this again. Like, we want to look forward to things, right? when you look forward to things, that's when you start looking better because you want to put your best self towards something. And we start planning. That's what humans do. If we have nothing to look forward to, then we're just such sad, horrible bastards. Cool. And, you know, like, okay, so it's nice to say, I'm going to be positive. Okay, cool. Great. That's a wonderful thing. But how do you back it up? So, like, what are the catalysts that we're going to have? Like, that's what I'm racking my brain now. Personally, I'm okay. I'm really fine. I like my life. I can do things. I have friends. That's cool. But it's not actually fun if everyone else around you is just faces long.
Some of whom you don't text that often.
What's that, Gord?
I said you've got friends, some of whom you don't text that often these days. But
Gordon, hang on a second. I asked you, Gord, what boxing gloves should I buy? Did I get a response? Fuck no.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh. I must have missed that one.
You absolutely ghosted me as to say, like, well, I don't care about you and your fitness
desires. I would never intentionally ghost you, Ben. I can't believe this has been between us all this time and we haven't resolved it.
I sent you three messages. You never comment on
that. Check if there's three fucking messages.
You never comment on the High Council anymore. It's like, what, have you got
you are the one. It just became me and Rob chatting.
Listen, what are we listening to here?
There are a few people on the message line this morning who are saying, apparently the reason that I don't like big hands. As a half-decent guy on Tinder, the problem is 95% of the women I match with are incapable of keeping a conversation going, so it fades out quickly. That's from Marcus.
Yeah, so that's humans, not necessarily specifically Tinder.
I also think like they could be bots. I was chatting to this girl and she didn't really seem to have any sort of, I wouldn't say emotional range. It's like more like vocabulary range. So I don't think that's
anyone who's come out of the South African education system in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but I also like there might be a robot behind that. I don't know. Like I was waiting for like the sort of credit card details or interest in organs or. I mean, like you never know, Gareth. It could be like.
Would you like to buy an organ?
Well, no. It's like, would you like to buy your own organ back?
These scams have escalated.
Would you like to buy an organ? Yeah, like, we're all after an organ at the end of the day. So, however you can get it.
Well, yeah, Joe in Cape Town says, "Forget Tinder, Ben. I'm still waiting for you in Cape Town." So there are some women who are still holding out hope.
Well, Joe, unfortunately, Cape Town's not a place I have any interest in.
It's an hour and a half, 1 hour and 50 minutes away, which is not very far to get laid.
On what? A plane?
Dude, you don't. There's so much to discuss. You combine things, right? Like I used to combine work trips and work in Cape Town with drum and bass opportunities to play big shows there because the jaws there were good. You combine, you find other reasons to go to Cape Town, and then you go, right, like, this is one part game of golf with the Cape Town lads at cool golf course, one part visiting relative I don't see often enough, one part night at Joe's house. And then you subdivide the 1,200 odd bucks you've spent on those flights, and it's like, the round of golf's an extra 250 bucks because it's in Cape Town. The knobbage is another 300, 400 bucks because it's in Cape Town.
The knobbage?
And I get to see Auntie Hilda, who loves me. And then you do that. You maximize productivity for the Goonage investment outlay.
Gord, you forget. I used to be a DJ. That's what I used to do. I used to go to towns and stuff and play shitty gigs and do exactly that.
So that you could get laid, yeah.
Well, that and play golf courses and stuff, yeah. I mean, in my 20s, sure, because that was interesting back then.
But you're looking for something meaningful.
I actually am. I'm a meaningful kind of guy, Gord. And I don't have the energy to keep doing different things and having to have the same conversation over and over. I think that'll be the worst thing.
That's how you're not like me.
The same conversation thing I can't do either.
I don't mind that same conversation. So long ago. If I'm meeting someone new and interesting, then it's cool to have that. I can do that conversation by rote.
It must be shit though, Gareth, when people do the whole bit with you, like, so what do you do? You're like, well, I'm Gareth Cliff. I'm Gareth Cliff every day, a couple of hours in the morning, and then sometimes I'm Gareth Cliff at events in the evening. Like, typically Gareth Cliff at home with Carl during lockdown.
But Gareth, I mean, unfortunately, we got sidetracked, but it was something I was going to touch on when we spoke about that eating and fasting, all those kind of things, is that whole, once you get to that certain age where we are, Gord essentially to Bolelo mentally was there about 20 years ago.
Yes. But Mbulelo was born.
Yeah, why are you so quiet, Mbulelo, huh?
He's listening to you guys telling everyone how you perfect men and you just can't find women.
I never said that.
I can find them.
Oh, so you think this is?
I have a higher gravitational attraction than most men.
That's
so
like there's nothing wrong with orbit.
Hey, I never said that at all.
Like if you're driving past Douglasdale or adjacent to Four Ways and you're driving in a straight line and you go past where I am, the gravity will make you realize that you've done like a 90 degree turn by the time you get and you're suddenly in Parkmore and you're like, how did I turn so right? It's like, no, you didn't. You went straight, but.
Yeah, you went into a gravitational sink.
Time fall into my heart. Sometimes make it always consider.
Yeah, again, I mean, I'll try to fight for a point in the show. But Gareth, so,
is Zimbulelo dropping some nastiness on you guys? I mean, is this what you're saying? I, by the way, I'm not looking for anything, so you can count me out of that whole discussion. But Mbulelo, you think that they're whining?
Well, yeah, everyone's have been having a whinge. Like, there's just no good women out there. You know what you sound like?
Having a
whinge.
A
lot of you. It's like all the good men are taken. It's just so hard for an ambitious woman in this country. Like, you, that's what you sound like, except you have
testicles. Women being hard to interact with or cuddle with at all.
Hey, God, it's tough to take feedback when you're talking all the time.
Well, that's what I'm here to do. But you said the lot of you. I haven't complained once about getting laid being difficult.
No, I mean, I'm just making the very obvious thing about dating apps not being so great. But any opportunity for you to try and make your white girl voice, because you hate white girls. Amy from Houghton doesn't appreciate this. Like, any chance you could throw that one in there, huh? You're like white girls are to you what strippers are to Sia.
Hey, I thought this was an attack on Mbulelo, not me.
I can't help it. You said that you keep coming back into this.
Hey, Ben, tell us about your health and wellness. That's what you're really here for.
The intermittent fasting.
No, I really was going to share some very useful kind of things because I thought that was something I could add to the show rather than just whining, as you say, which
can
I'm sure
I
didn't.
Out, but like, I'd like to say at this point that, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, when...
Great segue.
Because someone sent this.
It's not segue of the day, unfortunately, but it's top three easily.
Caitlyn Jenner, when he won the Olympics in 1976 as the winner of the decathlon and was named the world's greatest athlete. What a fucking mess this Caitlyn Jenner has become since then. Can we just focus on that? There will be a point in the future of humanity where they will look back and they'll go, what is wrong with humans that they gave this person an award 40 years after they were at the Olympics, 43 years after they'd won the decathlon at the Olympics, and they reward this person for completely ruining themselves and for being a play actor in a stupid life with a stupid family that they'd gathered around themselves when they used to be the superior human being. Ben, please don't tell me in 40 years' time that you're turning into a woman and that despite all that hard work you'd put in and you'd got yourself physically fit and you were happy, that you one day want to cut off the cock and balls and become Caitlyn Jenner, please, because this upsets me. I saw this picture and it just drove me crazy. It's like, why would anyone want to turn around from winning the Olympics in 76 as a model of a human being?
Well, Gareth, I think the only option is just to play off the forward tees in the golf course. I think Caitlin's winning club champs off those ladies' tees. No one hits
them. So it's a way to keep winning.
It's interesting because if you look at the pinnacle of etiquette and all that kind of stuff, and especially the almost ironically named decathlon.
Yes,
That is the pinnacle. That is the pinnacle of physical abilities, right?
Yes.
But then, if you think about it, in this woke, made up world that we currently seem to be existing in, Caitlyn Jenner maybe then creates she won the decathlon again in wokeness by becoming a woman. Yeah, there's a very definite side to that. So that's why she was given these awards, because she's actually become the societal decathlete now.
So she's the best at whatever she applies herself to.
So it is
track and exercise or changing perspective and deciding to go for gender changing because world champion of whatever.
Gareth, think about it. Okay. Like when you were on the Wheaties cereal box back in Bruce Jenner's day, that was the pinnacle, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the cover of Vanity Fair with boobs in Caitlyn's day, that's the pinnacle.
You got to respect it. Like, I'm going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated and I'm going to be the hot girl air quotes, on the cover of Vanity Fair.
If the saying "not my proudest wank" ever applied, it was right there.
We give it the power that it has. Like, people who find this stuff, like, you know, upsetting or even just bizarre or fascinating, it only has the power we give it by giving a shit. Like, if the individual wasn't so world famous, people have been Caitlyn Jennering for a couple of decades now, you know, medically and all of that. And obviously the technology improves, but like, it's not as if this individual did something unprecedented. I hate that we care. And I know that it's a media phenomenon. It's a media focal point. So we don't really have a choice but to care. But the fact that it even is on my radar is for me the problem, and not so much what the individual is actually doing with their life. I don't really care.
Yeah, and look, I think as well, I think if you were, I don't know why I'm supporting Caitlyn Jenner here. It's never something I've ever done before. Not that I didn't want to, but like, he had kids, right? Yeah. Right now, what's he got to do other than be a she? Life gets boring when you're old, huh? I mean, like, it must be so horribly, mind-numbingly boring. I mean, like what's OJ doing right now? I reckon OJ is considering becoming a woman, because what else has he got? What else has he got? He must be bored shitless, and if he can play a forward tees on a golf course, I reckon he can make more social cash.
I love the fact that you dissected this.
It's all about the forward tees, really.
It is about the forward tees, but could you imagine a member guest somewhere in America, Caitlyn and OJ as women, taking on they would clean up. They would absolutely clean up. It would be the most phenomenal amateur bettable partnership in golf. Like 6'4", 6'5". Hey, it's your turn to tee off, OJ.
Andy, and what have we learned on the show today? Ben definitely needs to get out. Whether that's so outside or outside of some.
That's rich coming from you, Gord.
Hey, all right. No, I mean, Ben. I just think Ben's analyzed this a lot, and I don't disagree with you.
Not at all. Like, everything on this show, as you know, for this however long it's been going, is the most unscripted, unthought about show in the whole world.
I tell you.
And this is where we all come up with our theories while talking to each other.
Now, quickly, there is actually something you've done that has to do with work, and this is quite cool. Tell us about Match Kit.
Oh yeah, guys, I don't really blow much smoke up my own ass at times, but I think I'm part of something that's really, really amazing here. And so apart from going slightly insane at home and not playing golf, work-wise has been absolutely amazing. So my business partners and I have identified this need that I think a lot of sports stars have to sort of better market themselves, better commercialize their careers. And we've created basically, like, it's a very simply, it's a web builder that's mobile optimized so that most sports stars don't own their own URLs, they don't have websites, and they're basically just talking crap on social media with everyone else. So their athletic brilliance is being muddled up with George Clooney's latest coffee ad or some Instagrammer's new pink hair. So they're very much diluted in how they market themselves. So now on MatchKit, everyone gets their own profile. It's templated in such a way that they can showcase all the things that are great about them, from content, achievements, sponsors. You can even see the size of the audience and who follows them. Like, you know, if it's women or it's men, if it's older men, younger women. And it's something that I'm so incredibly passionate about, because I get to actually work with sports stars now.
Yeah. This is what you've always wanted to do this. It's amazing that you've now developed a platform for it.
I mean, yeah. So
if Caitlin and OJ start their two ball at some point.
There we go.
We'd basically start them off on a match kit. Everyone would be able to see what they're about. So yeah, it's about taking all the things that I've done in the last sort of 10 years, added it to my partner's expertise, of which they are immense. And it's like, I wake up and I've got a platform which firstly shows what I'm about, because this is what I'm passionate about. And it's something that we're looking to take to the entire world. You know, we had a very sort of soft launch because, let's be honest, everything's digital right now and people are so distracted. So we had a virtual launch, and the goal is to get to America in about two years' time to kind of really like target the college athlete who's been completely taken advantage of. So we're looking to kind of increase their image right potential there. Yeah. And it's something that I wake up with a huge amount of purpose, knowing I've got this thing now. And if you are an athlete and you are looking to kind of better commercialize yourself, then matchkit.co is cheaper than .com, obviously, and we couldn't get the .com. And this is, you know, it's every single day, like, I'm learning more about sport. Like, I'm almost ashamed to say this, but I haven't missed live sport that much in my own personal capacity.
Because we're
creating something that kind of reminds me that sport is so much more than just whistle to whistle, but it needs to come back on in order to run the whole process.
Hold on, Gord, you said you're really missing it. It's killing you.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know from the abuse that I've taken at the hands of both Ben and Umbi over the years, I'm a huge Man United fan. And
I give you no abuse, Gordon.
Oh, no, you didn't acknowledge football. You. I actually take that back. Ben's thing was not acknowledging the existence of football, whereas Umbi's football news is what Man United did this week. Not the point.
What Man United didn't do this weekend.
No one did anything. So we thrashed a few teams before they shut things down. But no one's done anything. And when something like that's a big part of your life, and I would imagine it's the same if you're like an avid tennis fan or whatever your team sport is, or if you're a big follower of any sport other than UFC, which I am, which thankfully is back up and running. Weird without crowds, but it's fun still.
Which is still the greatest sport. I mean, God, that is the pinnacle of sportdom right there.
What, UFC?
Yeah, mixed martial arts. It's like you don't play MMA. You just say MMA. Every other sport you play, but you don't play fighting.
But the point is not about soccer or not soccer. It's just that if that's a big thing in your life, rugby guys are probably feeling the same. Like, I mean, for 9 months of the year, football is like a once, twice, sometimes three times a week ritual for me with certain friends that I always get together with about it. I've got a supporters club. There's nothing to fucking talk about now except total speculation about transfers, which we already get for 3 months every year. All teams, the off-season, that's all you talk about. So it's just like, that's a little thing that means a lot to me and I really miss it.
Yeah, got it, because it does become tribal after a while. Like I'm a tribalist individual in that I'm an atheist who doesn't really care for holidays or certain things. But when it comes to the sport, like it's something I care about because it's high stakes around people's lives. Like if your team is playing and there's something on the line, the rest of your life doesn't really matter for at least 90 minutes. And I've always found that pretty cool because humans are notorious at lack of focus, just lack of any kind of care, understanding, or application. But you get a team on the field they care about, or a fighter in a cage, or a car on a track, and that's something that, you know, they narrow in, which is really cool. I know, like, golf's also back, but again, like, I didn't realize the crowds were such a massive thing because you're watching a golfer, but golf without crowds is, it's just really good guys hitting a ball.
Really? It's not as good. You want the crowd?
No, for sure, Gareth. You have to have it. You really, really have to have it. But as we are running out of time, and I'm sure your attention span to sport does wane, on Netflix right now, there's probably the greatest, it's not a mockumentary, but it's a docuseries about the greatest losers in sport of all time.
I've seen that, but I've never checked it out. Is it cool?
Oh, God, it is so good. It is so clever because it's all about, like, you know, like the old cliche, you learn more when you lose. These guys have such great stories, and it's like it's so hard not to love them all instantly. And, you know, everyone talk about the Last Dance, the greatest sports person of all time, Michael Jordan, and that's a wonderful story, and it really is. But this thing on Netflix called Losers, it is like it's the kind of show I would love to produce if I had the ability to produce something. It goes into like how they fucked it up, basically. But also,
like people who spectacularly didn't win. It's not just losers who are generally shit at sport. Because, I mean, you come up, if you want to interview me about why football didn't work out as a career, it's not a very interesting story. These are obviously the silver medalists of
history.
Does
this thing make these people relive their lowest moments?
Completely. Through every second, Gareth. Like,
I love it.
And what makes it even funnier is they've got this really great animation because they don't use the live footage, obviously, for image rights reasons. But they have this animation of going through the whole thing again, but it's almost like caricatured with these original, like, facial expressions and stuff. But yeah, they go through it, and obviously now they're much older, so they can look back at it with a wiser head.
Any famous names that you care to rattle off?
Not really hugely famous. John van der Velde, for me, obviously was golf's biggest meltdown in my time. So they go through him because he had to make a double bogey on the last hole to win the Open Championship, and he made a seven and lost him. He made a seven and then lost in the playoff. So that was one of the most heartbreaking things. And because he was French, it just seemed even more bizarre. So
I saw a YouTube video yesterday. I don't know how it came up, but a YouTube video of Gary Lineker in the 1990 World Cup in Italy. Shitting in his pants.
did Lineker shit his pants at the World Cup?
Yes.
He was like one of my earliest football heroes, and like even though he played for Spurs, and it, you know, I was an England fan, and like I remember worshipping him, and I remember Italia 90. It's like one of my first childhood memories of like paying proper attention to a sport thing, and I just don't remember him ever shitting his pants.
No, go and look it up. He shat.
Okay, MMA fighters do that here and there. Like, it's not common. I've never actually seen it happen live or seen it happen during a live event. But if you go, you know, you Google it or look at it, look for it on YouTube, there's clearly it happens from time to time.
Yeah, like if you're looking for shit in the pants sport, then runners generally always win that. They are the most notorious for stalling there.
Yes.
Why is it so funny to me that runners...
Well, just shitting your... Like, you can think of nothing worse than your day. Like, imagine you wake up this morning and you go, oh, what do I not want to happen today? Shit your pants.
Yeah, I mean
like, you can deal with a lot, but shitting your pants must be one of the most horrible things, because it's not... It can't be a quick experience, right?
The fucking worst case possible scenario, dude. Like, I'm like, what would you actually... Thankfully, as an adult, I've literally never shat my pants. But I've thought about, like, what do you actually do? My one buddy, we call him Leg Week because his surname is Armstrong. So Leg Week... Leg Week was at Santon City, and he had taken, he was going to one of those far away obscure parking lots at the end of the banking mall where you need a special elevator that's like tucked away between two ATMs to go to this little isolated corner of the parking lot. And he just wanted to get out of the main shopping area because he knew he was going to shit. He didn't think he was going to make a bathroom, but all he had to do is get in the lift and go up, and he would at least be able to shit in or near his car, or at the very least, like in the parking lot and not in the center. So he got in the lift, the door opened, there were people in it, and it went down. He shat his pants in the lift. And he reckons he just didn't say anything, didn't do anything, stayed there quietly and waited for it to go back up again.
And then hang on, because now you've shat your pants, did he get into the car and just squelch it all up?
I don't know all of those details. It's an old story, and I might get some of it wrong, but I just remember he almost made it, but didn't quite. But I think he was wearing longs and could kind of just, I would imagine, just awkward smell in the lift that no one's quite sure where it's coming from. If you actually...
Well, it's quite clear. Gorgeous a lift, and one guy's got fucking duty drawers. Well, that's sure where the smell was coming
you
from.
You can see it. It's a different story.
Oh, man.
Unless there's a circulating wind in there. It was very much him.
But, you know, you can always say it hasn't been that bad of a day if you didn't shit yourself
right. And
you didn't get stuck in a lift with someone who did.
That's exactly the note to end the show on this morning.
Thanks for providing perspective, Gord.
Wishing you a shit-yourself-free day.
Yes, I hope nobody shits themselves today. Have an excellent time. Ben, good to see you again. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you on tomorrow, Thursday morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock. CliffCentral.com